We welcome you today to another edition of our Bible study here at the Wayne County Bible Center. And today we are in Colossians chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 9. We're looking at a prayer that Paul prays for the saints at Colossae. And as he's praying for the Colossians, he is expressing his desire that they have a certain mentality or a certain mindset. And so that's what we're going to look at today, about how the child of God should have a mindset towards spiritual progress, that we need to be growing in the Spirit, that we need to be progressing and moving forward. And so we're going to go over a mental checklist that Paul lays out for us in Colossians. Because, my friend, we fight battles in our minds, and I've been preaching this on the sermon side of this website. And then we're going to look at a sad reality for most Christians, and it's mental. It's a mental thing. Because before we can do God's will, we have to think God's way. And I've been teaching that in our Sunday mornings here in Waynesboro, Tennessee. So it is good to have you with us. Let's jump on the Word of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. And the Scripture says this. Paul says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to pray for you and to desire that you would be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." He wants you to think the way God wants you to think. Have a certainty about the will of God. Have wisdom to handle the circumstances of life and navigate circumstances with a heavenly wisdom. And spiritual understanding. He wants you to have a spiritual perspective of God's higher way. And then if you're thinking God's way, verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. All right, so this is doing God's will, bearing fruit, walking worthy of the Lord, doing things that please God. So before you can do God's will, you got to think God's way. Lord, take over my thoughts today. Guide me in the way I need to think. And then in verse 10, he says, and increasing in the epinosis of God, the clear, exact, intimate relationship knowledge of God. Should be growing in that. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father about our salvation. So let me pray and then we'll jump into this. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. And Father, as I come today, I confess to you that I commit sin and there's sin in my life. And I ask for forgiveness of daily sin, Father, and a cleansing of the sins I've committed already this morning or yesterday or last week. And Father, I confess them and name them to you as I allow your Spirit to convict me and bring them to my mind. Because we know, Lord, you are faithful to forgive us as we confess individual sin. And that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So I praise your name for your precious blood today. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for the cross. And I thank you for your willingness to suffer and die for me. And I praise your name, Father, for my salvation. I thank you for salvation today. And Holy Spirit, I pray for an anointing of my mind and heart and body. Fill me with peace. But Father, I ask that you take over my thoughts. As Paul says, you bring every one of my thoughts under the obedience and the captivity and the authority of your Holy Spirit. Let me think. Guide my thoughts to think on the things you want me to think on today. And Father, I'm going to cast away anything in my mind. Father, I'm not going there. Lord Jesus, any of these meditations that aren't of you, when we start thinking about things, Lord, convict us to say, okay, Lord Jesus, take this out of my mind and guide me to think the way you want me to think. Father, guide us now with this mentality. Lord Jesus, just guide us. Holy Spirit, you take over. Let everyone know that you love them and you have a plan for their lives. In your name, amen. All right, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul is expressing a mentality towards spiritual progress or spiritual growth. And he uses these words, fillings. That you be filled. That you increase. That you be full of
knowledge of His will. That you might be filled with more of His wisdom. That you might be filled with a greater spiritual understanding. That you may gain strength and power and patience and joy as you go through your life. And so, my friend, I want you to understand this. The Christian life should be marked by spiritual progress and growth. Hang in here, my friend. You say, "Well, Leo, that's basic." Well, if it's basic, 80% of the church is not here. They have plateaued. We'll get to that in a moment. The Christian life should be marked by spiritual progress and growth. Secondly, it should be a moving forward. Verse 10 says this, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. The Greek word walk is just like the English word walk. It means to be motivated forward, a forward motion of walking. That we should be moving forward. And then it says in verse 9 that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. He goes on to say in verse 10 that you might be full of fruitfulness in every good work. We are to be filled. We're not to be half full. We're not to be mostly empty. But we're to be filled. And my friend, our problem is we're so used to not being filled. We're so used to not moving forward that we're at a place in life where we think the Christian experience was we got saved, and I'll give you these verses in a moment, by the skin of our teeth, or yet so as by fire, and then we never grow, and we keep losing the same battles, we keep wrestling with the same weaknesses, we keep being overcome by the same strongholds in life, because we're not determined to get stronger in the Spirit, to get motivated in the Spirit, and to move forward. My friend, how absurd it would be if you were to join a gym and lift weights over the next year, and you go in bench pressing 120 pounds, and you go three times a week and work out for 2 hours, and 12 months from now, you can still only bench press 120 pounds. You'd say, "This is useless. This is worthless. I've not gained any strength." Well, my friend, that's where many Christians are. Paul says that they have need to be teachers, but they're still drinking the milk. And we may go to that if we have time today. But what I want you to understand, my friend, this is a mentality. Paul's saying, "I'm praying that you have the mental approach that you will be filled with the knowledge of God, that you will be filled with a certainty about God's wisdom in your life, etc., etc., etc." So let me give you the checklist, the mental checklist. I think there's 8 of them in verses 9 through 12. Number 1 is this. Paul prayed that they would be filled with a certainty about God's will. That they would be the kind of people that are in the Word of God, in prayer, mulling these things over in their mind before the Lord, meditating upon these things, praying and asking and seeking. And in certain situations in their life, as parents or as spouses or in business or in making decisions, that they would have a certainty about God's will. Many people today, preachers, lay people, churches, Christians, that they'll come up to you and say, "I just don't know what God wants me to do." Well, my first answer to that is this. That's not where God wants you mentally. He wants you to have a certainty. You might come up and you might say to me, "Well, Brother Leo, let me tell you this. I'm facing this, but you know what God's telling me? He's telling me to be still and wait for His direction." Hey, that's viable. That's viable. But there are many children of God today that don't know whether to move forward or be still. And if you're being still under the direction of the Lord, that's moving forward. So number one, you're to have a certainty concerning God's will. Number two, you're to be filled with God's wisdom. You need to gain God's wisdom. James 1 says, in every situation, ask for the wisdom of God. The Lord will pour it out unto you. And wisdom, Sophia, okay, in the Greek, it means this. It means wisdom to navigate circumstances. So God's wisdom is given to you to be applied to a certain situation so you know what to say. You know how to handle it. You know the next step to take in the wisdom of God. Wisdom, God's wisdom is to be gained and then it's applied. Whether you're buying a business or selling a business, whether it's in a personal relationship, whether it's in handling a situation with a teacher at the school, or you're the teacher at the school having to handle a situation. And then number three, he says to be filled with a spiritual understanding. That's God's perspective. A spiritual understanding, a vertical understanding of the horizontal circumstances that you're dealing with in life. You know, you got to go to the doctor next week. You got to undergo some tests. And we get so focused on our own life and say, Lord, just heal me. I don't want to do it. And I'm speaking about myself. Maybe the higher purpose is the Lord sending you as a missionary to be a witness to that doctor or that nurse. And you want to gain that. You want to say, whatever it is I got to go through, Lord Jesus, you're sending me in there as a missionary. That is an example of having a spiritual understanding of why we have to go through a process sometime. God, it's the only way God can get a Christian into a certain environment. And we need to look at it this way. So those are three things on your mental checklist. Am I growing? Am I progressing with the certainty of God's will in certain areas of my life? Am I gaining more and applying more of God's wisdom as I handle my family or my relatives or a co-worker? And am I gaining spiritual understanding as I go through things? So that's what the Lord is saying. Number four, he's saying that you would grow in your knowledge of God, epignosis, and increase. More intimacy with God, a clear, exact, personal experiential knowledge. I'm reading to you the Greek for epignosis. Penetrating, intimate relationship as a husband and wife have. We are to have a spiritual intimacy with the Lord, and we're to be growing in that. You need to be able to say, I'm closer to the Lord today than I've ever been. I'm closer to my Lord Jesus Christ today than I've ever been. And then he goes on to say in verse 11, strengthened with all might. That's number five. More strength. Brother Leo, you know, we've been through a hard time the last year, but I want to tell you something. I'm stronger today for it. We've gotten stronger in the Lord. We've gotten stronger in the Lord. You ever run into these Christians and tell you, oh boy, the devil's just beat me up, and oh, we've had a rough time, and it's self-pity and pity party and all this stuff. My friend, God never allows anything to pass through his providential hands into your life to weaken you. He might use the devil to attack you or allow the devil to attack you, but he's using the devil not to make you weaker, but to make you stronger. Did God not use the devil? The devil came into Judas's heart. The devil wanted to sift Peter's wheat. The devil used Pontius Pilate. The devil used the religious leaders to do what? To allow Christ to go to a cross to die for our sins. The devil was a pawn in this plan. And the crucifixion wasn't to destroy Christ. The crucifixion was used to give us all forgiveness of sin and eternal life. So it's the same way in your life. You've got to understand, I'm getting stronger to grow. Number five, to grow in strength and might and power. To know and experience the power of God, where you can see a situation, you can say, surely the power of God did this. Surely the power of God did this. And this is a mentality. This is the way we need to look at life. And I'm going to show you in a moment, before I close, the opposite. And there's so much to this, I won't be able to cover it today. But hopefully we'll cover it in future Bible studies on the website. Number six, look at what the Scripture says in verse 11. That you would be strengthened unto all patience and long-suffering. Patience and long-suffering. Patience is enduring with joy, and I know he's got joyfulness there, but being content and long-suffering and not complaining and whining, and saying, Lord, I'll carry this burden as long as you want me to carry it, because of number five, I'm getting stronger as I carry it. Resistance results in strength. You put on a backpack with 10 pounds of weight in it, and you walk around that track four times, and you do that three times a week for 4 months and see how strong you get. My friend, he has chosen you. He has placed this burden upon you because he knows that through him you have the strength to carry it. And so you take that attitude. You know, fallen human nature, and I'm speaking for myself, when a crisis has come up in my life, I whine and scream and beg God to get us out of it. And I think he's very merciful, but we've got to come to the place where we say, okay, Lord, if you want us to carry this thing, we're going to carry it, we're going to move forward, and we're going to carry it for your glory. Paul said, okay, Lord, you want me to have a thorn in my flesh? Well, it's going to keep me closer to you. I'm going to grow, for I have learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And we move forward with patience and contentment and acceptance from a spiritual standpoint that this thing is going to be worked ultimately for good in my relationship. Number 7, look at what he says. Joy. Joy. That you would be filled and strengthened with joyfulness. You have more joy today? Are you progressing in joy? I've been saved 10 years, brother. Well, I hope you got 10 years worth of joy as your foundation and you're building on it. I hope you're full of joy, joyful. It's very distressing when a Christian at one time who you know had joy or were full of joy and they've allowed things in their life to rob them of their joy. Because I'm going to tell you something, there'll be those listening to me that will say, Brother Leo, we disagree with your doctrine here, and I understand that, but I believe it with all my heart, and I believe it to be truth with all my heart. The devil cannot steal your salvation from you because you are sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So his goal is to rob you of your joy and to stop you from progressing spiritually. So you've got to take a mental approach and a mental attitude that, hey, I'm going to get up today, and today is going to be a day of spiritual progress, and I'm going to go through this checklist. And then verse 8, he says this. Number 8. Number 8, verse 12 says this. And giving thanks unto the Father, verse 13, who has delivered us from darkness into light, into the kingdom of his dear Son, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through the blood, even forgiveness of sin. My friend, I want to grow in my gratitude unto Jesus for all that he has done for me. And every day I want to say this. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for my salvation. There is not a day goes by that the child of God should not thank the Lord Jesus Christ for his salvation. And when you're doing that, that will get your mental perspective where it needs to be to start the day. You might have a flat tire, but my friend, you're saved and you're going to heaven. And eternity has been settled in your life. Eternity's been settled. I'm upstairs looking out over a balcony setting, and it is fall, and it is frigid here in Tennessee. It is mid-November, and my friend, the leaves are dropping, and the sky is blue, and the colors throughout the woods that surround my home. Across the road from me is a pasture full of cattle, but I am so blessed. And I just want to praise God. And we go through hard times, but I just want to say to you, my friend, God is there with us, and we need to have a spirit of gratitude there. In 2011, I spent over 30 days in the hospital at three different times, 30 days total. And I've had feeding tubes, and I've had a blood clot in the jugular, and I've had surgeries, and I went through all those things. And so when I get up in the morning, I thank the good Lord for my salvation. I thank the good Lord for the health and strength that I have. I don't want to forget. I don't want to get petty in things. And I thank the good Lord that I slept in my own bed last night. Nobody was coming in at 4 in the morning and taking blood from me. And my friend, I want you to understand something. Every morning, man, thank Jesus for your salvation and thank the Lord for the health that you have today. And we want to grow in gratitude. So let me hit you real quick, and then I'm going to move forward. We need to have this mental checklist of spiritual growth. We want certainty about God's will. We want to gain God's wisdom and apply it more and more. We want to grow into a fuller spiritual understanding or perspective. We want to see God's higher purpose in the things we go through. And just ask Him, say, Lord, show me your higher purpose in this. How do I need to be looking at this situation? Number four, we want to grow in our epinosis of God, more intimacy with God, a clearer and more exact personal experience with the Lord. We want to grow in strength. I'm getting stronger, might and power. We want to grow in our patience, our acceptance, our contentment. Instead of whining, wanting to get out of something, we want to go through it. We want to go through it in the strength of God. And then we want to have more joy and more gratitude. Now, the Christian life should be marked by progress and growth. But here's the sad reality for most Christians, and it's mental. Go with me to Revelation chapter 3. And this is the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3, the church of the last age. And the Laodicean church is described this way, and you know, you've been studying long enough. Revelation 3, verse 15 and 16 says this, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say that you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and you know not, that's thinking what you know, you don't know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, and I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Because you think that you are rich and you have need of nothing. You're neither hot nor you're cold. So this is the sad majority. I've just given you the mental approach. The Word of God expressing the mentality there of spiritual growth and spiritual progress. You know, we're running a course that is set before us, as Paul says, pressing and striving and reaching forth. That's Hebrews 12, Philippians 3. I'm not going to get there today. But here's the mentality that's the sad reality for probably 80% of all Christians, and it's this. We are neither hot nor cold. Most Christians have a lukewarm mentality. A lukewarm mentality, and they don't realize how badly they need the Lord more and more in their lives. So there is no progress. You think you don't need anything. You think you don't need anybody, and you don't think you need the Lord and to be growing in the Lord as badly as you do, so you're not desperate for it. So we have this lukewarm mentality. A lot of Christians get saved and they grow for 6 months or 6 years and then they hit a plateau or a spiritual wall. And then they fall into spiritual defeatism. Oh, I'm always going to be this way. Brother Leo, I just need to tell you something about me. You don't know me, but this is how I am. This is the way I've always been. That's because you choose to be that way. I'm supposed to adjust to you. The Lord Jesus Christ is supposed to adjust to the way you are. My friend, you better be confessing the way you are and let the Lord grow you. Or a spiritual defeatism or an acceptance. Verse 18, he says, I want you to get in the fire for me. I want you to do works that are tried in the fire. I want your faith on fire. These people are not on fire. They're not committed. They're not progressing. And they're not growing in the Lord. And it's this lukewarm, spiritual plateau mentality. Look at your loved ones that are Christians. You know, I'm talking about adults, okay? Brothers, sisters, whatever. Are they growing in the Lord? You can tell. Are they the same they've been in the last 10, 20 years? People in your own family. And I kind of phrase it this way. Patty says this a lot. A lot of these people have got as much of Jesus as they want. You've got as much of Jesus as you want. She says that all the time. You know that bunch, they've got as much of Jesus as they want. Or as little. Let's go ahead and throw that in there. They've got as much of Jesus as they want, or as little of Jesus as they want. And you know, they go to church every Sunday. You know, they go to the church every Sunday with this country club membership mentality. That's why we're fighting battles here on Amendment 1. That's why we're fighting battles here to protect the sanctity of life in the womb here in Tennessee. That's why we're fighting battles here in Tennessee to protect the God-given privilege and right of marriage that He ordained in the Garden of Eden. And Jesus confirmed when He says, "It is now as it was in the beginning." God brought the woman unto the man. And so we're fighting all these battles because we've got 80% of the Christian church is more concerned with getting to the buffet on time on Sunday morning than they are in sacrificing something for the cause of Christ. Well, I want you to understand something. He died for you. So as Paul says, I reckon those that get saved ought to live for Him. The skin of their teeth mentality, a plateau. Strongholds remain strongholds. Weaknesses remain weaknesses. They lose the same battles over and over and over again. There is no progress and there is no growth. And so it's a mentality and they accept it that way. And they're saved. They know they're saved. I can tell you about the mentality. They know Jesus. And they know they come to church. Go with me to Hebrews. I'm going to close out in Hebrews. I love you. All right, if you're listening today, please know we love you. But my friend, we need help. We need soldiers. We need warriors. We need people to get out of the dugout, walk between those two white lines, and take a position. Shortstop, third, we need you in left field. We need you somewhere serving the Lord and taking a stand for Him. Hebrews chapter 5, and many folks are. In Tennessee, we're getting fired up. Man, wherever you are, I was told this week, people are listening in every continent all over the world. Wherever you are, man, let your light shine for Jesus. And we thank you so much for listening. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 says this. The Hebrew writer is saying this. There are many things I want to tell you about the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And they're a little bit deep, but you are dull of hearing. Verse 12, by this time, you should be able to teach the Word of God. You have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. These people are thinking they can lose their salvation. And so what Paul's saying is, the Hebrew writer is saying, you know, if we've got to keep going back teaching on how to get saved, we're never going to grow. And so he says, it's impossible. If you can't get saved and kept saved by the way I first taught you, well, there's no other way. I can't crucify Christ again. There's no other way I can teach you the doctrine of salvation that you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And he says this, and you have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for you're still a baby. I mean, can you imagine a baby being born and they grow to 3 years of age and then 20 years later, physically, They're still all the same habits, all the same size, all the same everything. And that's how we look spiritually. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know what Paul's saying there is you need to have grown to the place where you've got discernment, spiritual wisdom, going all the way back to everything he said in Colossians, certainty about God's will. And so, my friend, it's a mentality. I hope you leave this message today fired up. That you no longer have to be the way you are. I no longer have to be the way I am. Time and time again, God has shown me, Leo, don't worry about that. And I still worry. And then he shows me how he handles it. And then I fall on my knees, sometimes in tears and gratitude unto the Lord. My dear friend, if you are on a spiritual plateau today, I want to say unto you, when you get out of this message, go get in your prayer closet, and you'll be taking a giant step up the slope of the mountain of righteousness, up the slope of the mountain of spiritual growth. And man, that air is so fresh up there, and it's so clear, and it's so vibrant, and it's so beautiful. God bless you, my dear friend. Let me pray with you. Father, I pray with Paul that the Christian life of this dear brother or sister that's listening right now will be marked by spiritual growth and progress, by moving forward. Father, I pray for him to have feelings, to be filled with your wisdom and your love and your power and strength and might and a certainty about your will. Lord Jesus, let him grab hold of you today and say, Lord, grow me. Grow me, Lord Jesus. Father, I want to thank you for the miracles you've worked in my life and in the life of my family for years and even just a few hours ago. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for all the wonderful things you do. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for loving us, for suffering and dying for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray.